It was a brutal three-game series for the New York Yankees as they got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll break down the whole series and the mess that is coming from all the Yankees' injuries here on the latest episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. A brutal, and I mean brutal, three-game set for the Yankees against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays come into the Bronx and sweep their division rival, taking over first place in the American League East Division. And, of course, as we all know, the Yankees are known for their injury history and their injury woes, and the woes continue to hurt the Bronx Bombers. We're going to break all that down for you and more on this latest episode. As always, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, our personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Also, find us on Instagram, Delahanty Media, and go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates regarding our show. So, this is going to be a rather somber show. We have a lot to discuss, a lot of things that are really bothering after these past three games. And now there is uncertainty for the Yankees' upcoming schedule due to people within the Mets organization testing positive for the COVID-19 virus. So there's a lot of things up in the air. We're going to break it all down for you on this latest episode. So let's start to break down this series. And obviously, we're going to start with Game 1, which featured a matchup between Blake Snell and Masahiro Tanaka. And now for Yankee fans, you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, Tanaka's been solid. Hopefully you get a good outing out of him. Unfortunately, Tanaka did not have it. Put up two scoreless innings to start, but then the Rays exploded for four runs in the third. The big blow coming off the home run from Lau. There was two on at that point. And then this is where I feel like we're all having this issue with the Yankees, and that's where we question Aaron Boone and his decision-making. Tanaka didn't have it. It was obvious. It was evident. The Yankees were down 5-0 after four. What does Boone do? He proceeds to send Tanaka out for a fifth inning of work when it was clear he did not have it. Like, there are so many times this season where I have been against what Aaron Boone has done with regards to starting pitching, and it becomes a common trend because you're going to see it again in Game 2. But in this circumstance, I would have taken Tanaka out and went to the bullpen and gave them a fresh inning. Nick Nelson and Cessa did the job out of the pen. I would have just turned it over to Nelson to begin the inning. But what does Boone do? He keeps Tanaka out there, and he lets up a home run to Austin Meadows. And we all know how it is with Tanaka. He's coming back from the concussion. They're trying to progress him in. But to leave him out there for another inning and then to have that happen, there was no point of that. And I just feel like there's times where Boone jumps the gun on taking guys out, and then there's times where he leaves them out there to dry when he necessarily shouldn't leave them out there. If you go back to Cole's one start, he left them out there, he let up a home run to end it, and then he takes him out of the ballgame. Should have took him out there. But then we have this situation, and I just feel like he doesn't manage bullpens well, and he doesn't manage his pitching well, and that's a big problem for the Yankees. If Boone's going to get outmanaged, they're in a bad spot. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. If your manager is handicapping you, you're in a lot of trouble. And this Rays team has given the Yankees fits all season. And they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving or taking any credit away from them. They're a good, solid team. But with the team that they have and the flexibility they have, there's no reason why they shouldn't be competitive against this team. This is their kryptonite. They're good against everybody else except for the Rays right now. And that's a bad thing. That's a bad sign. Especially given you might match up with this team in the postseason. What's going to happen? Is Boone going to get outmanaged by Kevin Cash again? That's not good. It's not ideal for the Yankees. But anyway, we're going to talk more about Boone in just a little bit. But to go back over this game, Yankees found themselves down by a couple of runs early in the ballgame. That four-run third, like I mentioned. The Yankees did add a run in the fourth inning on a Gary Sanchez home run. Voit hit a two-run shot an inning later. What more can you say about Voit? We're going to break him down a little bit later on in the show. But again, It's a very frustrating loss. The Yankees lose that game 6-3. They couldn't capitalize against the Rays bullpen. Snell went 5 innings, allowed 3 runs. Other than that, the Yankees basically were hitless. Only had 1 hit over the final 4 innings of the ball game. Tough way to start the series for the Yankees, especially given that they came in. There was a lot of high energy and hope, considering that they just beat up the Red Sox and they took care of the Braves. And I get it that Judge is out, and it's a really bad time for him to be sitting on the injured list when he's healthy. And you don't have LeMahieu or Stanton, but that next man up mentality's got to stick. But they weren't able to get the job done in Game 1. And if you watch Game 2, I'm sure you're in a very similar predicament that I'm in, because I was scratching my head for the majority of the game. There's a lot of weird decisions that Aaron Boone made that I don't necessarily agree with. And that's going to be the common trend of the first two games of this series. And let's get into Game 2. After that Game 1 loss, you had to be positive thinking Gerrit Cole was on the mound and he was going up against Tyler Glasnow. A good pitching matchup, but again, whenever Gerrit Cole takes the mound, there is a 99.9% chance you think the Yankees have the advantage in the ballgame, and rightfully so, they should. Cole looked great. He probably had his best stuff that we've seen all year. He made 2 mistakes all game. He let up a home run to Troy in the second inning, and Zunino hit a home run in the third. I'm not really concerned about the Zunino home run. Troy seems to own Cole, but it is what it is. He goes into the seventh inning, allowing just 2 runs on 6 hits. He strikes out 10. At 109 pitches, he gets the first 2 outs of the inning. This is where the Aaron Boone criticism begins. He comes out to take Gerrit Cole out of the ballgame, and Cole was pissed. And I see it on Twitter and social media. There's people saying, oh, you know what, you shouldn't be mad or whatever. He's a competitor. You mean to tell me that you would be happy if he didn't get upset that he was taken out of the game when he felt he was in a rhythm and in a groove and could get the final out of the inning? Even if you let him finish the inning or give him one more batter, what is that telling your ace when he's rolling and you don't want him on the mound? I thought that was a dumb decision. I didn't agree with it one bit. I would have let Cole finish the inning, especially given that Boone goes out to the mound. He sees the frustration in Cole. Cole looks like he's trying to argue his way back into the game, to stay in the game. But Boone doesn't budge and takes him out. And you frustrate your ace, and it is what it is. I get they're probably trying to save his pitches because, you know, he's at 109 pitches, and guys are soft this day. But Cole's a different animal. Let him go. I don't understand that. That just made no sense to me. Then they go to Zach Britton. Britton gets the final out of the inning. He comes out for the top half of the eighth inning, and here's where the pitching side of things get interesting. We'll talk about the offense too. Britton did not have it. It was evident he didn't have it. There was nothing there. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the Yankees kept them in to dry, and Boone kept them in too long, and they scored a couple of runs, Tampa, and ultimately, that was your ballgame. Now, I know that Britton made a costly play where he dropped the ball at first, and they ended up scoring a run off of that. I totally get that. But at the end of the day, when you see your pitcher struggling, why would you leave him out there to dry? The 3-batter minimum was finished. They could have taken him out of the game. You have a loaded bullpen in a game where you're in the thick of it, where every out and every batter counts. And you mean to tell me you leave Britton in there when he don't have it, and there's clearly something not right with him? That is a dumb decision on Aaron Boone's part. And then not only did Britton pitch bad and got the loss in this ballgame and ruined the good Gerrit Cole start, but then they say he's hurt after the game, that he hurt his leg. Listen, I'm too young to have high blood pressure, but this team could definitely give you high blood pressure if you invest too much in it. Because as good as they can be, they are very frustrating at times. And this is one of the times where it's very frustrating. And a lot of it rides on Aaron Boone, but if Britton was hurt, why did he continue to stay in the game? Why didn't he tell somebody he was hurt? That cost him. Did he get hurt covering first base that he was late on? And on the same play, Gary Sanchez watched as the ball rolled away and Yandy Diaz was able to take the extra base. Just very, very frustrating. And they end up losing this ball game 4-2. Loaisiga comes in. He looks good again. what more can you say about him? He's just becoming a lethal weapon in the bullpen for the Yankees. He's been great. The Yankees scored, you know, Voit hit a home run. Voit's been really good. They made Tyler Glasnow look like Cy Young for the first five innings of the ballgame, other than the Voit home run. They really couldn't get anything going. They added a run in the sixth inning on a sac fly that at that point tied the game. But again, the Rays scored the two runs in the eighth inning, and that was your ball game. Some very, I mean very, concerning things that Aaron Boone did during this game. Number one, he takes out Clint Frazier, and he puts Tauchman in. Okay, Tauchman gets an at-bat. It is what it is. I understand Frazier is a little bit iffy in the outfield and in a close game. I understand where they're coming from. I'm in that predicament. I understand the defensive purposes. I would have gave Frazier the at-bat, but obviously it is what it is. Tauchman's been just as good, if not better. So there, it's really, you know, it is what it is. But here's where it gets interesting. Ninth inning, the Rays have a lefty on the mound. That lefty is Beeks. I couldn't think of his name when I first said lefty. And Tauchman was due up. Okay? So, why? Unless your name is DJ LeMahieu, or, yeah, heck, I'll give you Aaron Judge. Unless your name is one of those guys, why would you be pinch hitting for Tauchman right now? Why? That makes no sense to me. Let's just go through the inning, okay? I'm going to start you off with the entire ninth inning because I just wanted to throw my TV out the window, okay? Rowe starts the inning on the mound for the Rays. Gleyber works a walk. Sanchez works a walk. So now you have no out with the two guys on base. They pinch run Wade for Sanchez, obviously, because you got your speed demon at first to hopefully tie the game. Gardner lines out. So you have one out. Tauchman due up at the plate. The Rays go to Beeks, the left-hander, to face him. Now, if you look at Tauchman's splits, he's actually really good against lefty. So the lefty-on-lefty matchup shouldn't really concern you. But the Yankees decide to pinch hit Miguel Andujar for Mike Tauchman in this situation. And Miguel Andujar had one of the worst, and I repeat, worst at-bats I have ever seen in this situation. First and foremost, it's not the Miguel Andujar that almost won the American League Rookie of the Year a couple of years back. The guy is 2-for-21 at the plate, and his two hits are literally bloopers. Tauchman has been one of their most valuable players all season long, and he rightfully so deserves a chance to start on an everyday basis at this point. And you mean to tell me he doesn't deserve that at-bat there? The guy's been nothing but good. He should have had that at-bat. You're putting Andujar in that situation? That was embarrassing. Then, wild pitch, moves the runners to second and third. Estrada strikes out to end the game, and that's it. Yankees lose another one at home against their division rival. And the division rival keeps owning them. It's embarrassing. Boone had a very, and I repeat, very bad managing game. And he's been bad. Like, I don't care what everybody says. I don't care what the media might speculate that, you know, LeMahieu's out, Judge's out, Stanton's out. This team has too much talent to play that card. Yeah, Judge should be in the lineup. They rushed to put him on the IL for no apparent reason. But again, you're sitting there and you're looking at Boone's decisions. It's a common trend. He doesn't know how to manage his starting rotation. He doesn't know when it's time to take out guys or keep them in certain situations. And it doesn't seem like he knows how to manage a bullpen either. And I get Matt Blake is the guy, the analytics guy, and he's the guy who to fix everybody. And I want to give him time to grow and develop in his role. And I understand that he's never been in a dugout, in a big league dugout, to do the role he's been. But Boone's been managing for, what, 3 years now? You mean to tell me that he's still making mistakes that rookie managers don't make? Come on. I'm sick and tired of the narrative being Boone losing ball games and keeping guys in there too long like he did for Tanaka, or frustrating your ace when he's rolling. Leave the guy in the game. It just didn't make sense to me. And then leaving in Britton, that was another thing. It's just mind-boggling to me that this is a common occurrence. And if it continues, you have to speculate that Boone's job could be on the line. listen, they have a window to win now. Let's face it. Their window is here. They have probably a 3 to 4 year window that they can win multiple World Series championships. Because let's remember, in a couple of years, they're going to have to decide, do you pay an injury-prone Aaron Judge? Do you pay a Gary Sanchez who couldn't block a ball to save his life in the behind the plate? They got to pay a Gleyber Torres who might end up being a superstar in this game, but has a lot to prove to get to that point. And then you look at guys like Voit and Urshela, guys who are really overproducing at this point and really doing a nice job. They're going to be looking for a payday too. So there's a lot of factors that come into play. And then that's not even including the starting pitching and the bullpen guys, because those guys there's a couple coming up on contract years. You look at Paxton, you look at Tanaka, you look at Ottavino, Canley. There's a couple of them that can be due for free agency. So the window's now, and you have to question, is Boone the guy to lead this team? I'm starting to question it, and I know it might be an overreaction, and I hope you guys send in your thoughts too via social media or whatnot. But I'm starting to doubt Aaron Boone. And it's become a common denominator that he just doesn't seem to get it. And I feel like he's not using what he sees, but he's using what he's reading and what he's looking at to make his decisions. And that is a bad recipe for the Yankees. It really is. And if this continues, he's going to be on the hot seat, whether you guys like it or not, because this team is ready to win now. So if he can't get the job done, you might see them start speculating on if this team is ready to bring in a new manager, because Booney's got to shape up. And don't get me wrong. I like Aaron Boone. I think he's personality-wise, I like him. I think that he brings a lot to a clubhouse, but I feel that he lacks in the manager department, and you have some good teams you're going to match up with in the postseason that might outduel him. Kevin Cash is a better manager than Aaron Boone. Terry Francona, I know the Indians are a little bit iffy right now, but Terry Francona is a better manager than Aaron Boone. I could go through the American League and probably find you 6 or 7 managers who I would take over Aaron Boone. But at the end of the day, he has to learn from these mistakes and kind of go with it. Just like a player learns from their mistakes on the field. A manager's got to learn too, and they got to grow and they got to develop. And unless we see changes, Boone's going to get a lot of heat from Yankees Nation, because everybody's already annoyed at how he's been managing games lately. It's been frustrating. It's cool to beat up on Boston. It's cool to beat up on bad teams. But when you play the good teams, you have to take advantage, especially at home. It's just embarrassing. And hopefully Boone does shape up, because this team can win it this year. But when it comes down to playing against good teams, they tend to struggle. And let's face it, I know the playoffs are expanded, but once you get to the playoffs, everybody you're playing is good. You're not going to be playing many bad teams. Maybe that first-round matchup, you get a team that you can take care of, but you're going to be facing good teams, and you want that home field advantage. You don't want to go to the Trop for a series, that garbage of a stadium. You don't want to go on the road for the majority of series, especially against like a Houston or a Cleveland. You don't want to do it. A Minnesota you could throw in there. But it's just a matter of shaping up, and there's a lot of work for this team to do. Prior to the afternoon contest in Game 3, the Yankees made a couple of roster moves. First and foremost, they placed Zach Britton on the 10-day injury list with what they're calling a hamstring strain. He'll be sidelined. That's a big blow for the Yankees bullpen. We all know how valuable he was, especially with Aroldis Chapman out at the time. Had a league-leading 8 saves. Was really lights out, struggled in that game too, and the concern for the injury is definitely there. But as we'll talk about going forward on this show, the injury bug continues to hurt the Yankees, especially in Game 3. Along with the Britton news, the Yankees option Miguel Andujar down to the alternate site. Andujar 2-for-22 on the year, really not doing much for the Bronx Bombers, so made sense for them to add another arm or two into the mix. To replace Britton and Andujar, the Yankees recalled Ben Heller, who made 3 appearances so far in the year. And then Miguel Yajur, he was a rookie, a 22-year-old, never pitched above double-A ball, but the Yankees have high hopes for him. Seems to have a 3-pitch arsenal, has a lively fastball. There's some sentiment within the organization that this guy has electric stuff and could possibly make his major league debut over the next couple of games. If he does make his major league debut, he'll be the first player to ever wear the number 89, and that's significant because of the fact that if he does make his major league debut, that means that every number from 1 to 99 will have been used in Major League Baseball history. So pretty cool fact for you there. Not much cool stuff to talk about in this ball game, however. Yankees end up losing the third game. They get swept. They lose 10-5, but let's break it down a little bit better for you overall. Yankees got on the board early. Luke Voit, we're going to talk about him at the end of the show. What more can you say about Voit? I had three hits in this ballgame, hit a home run to get the Yankees going. They were actually up 2-0 after four. James Paxton looked phenomenal. He went through the first four. He didn't let up a hit. He was truly dominating. And then the fifth inning happened. Paxton comes back onto the mound and walks two batters in a row, lost the strike zone completely, lets up a hit, two runs score, and just like that, the Yankees find themselves trailing in this ballgame. What we find out after the game, and Paxton only pitched the first five, Yankees went to the bullpen afterward, and when Paxton left, they actually had the lead because Urshela hit a home run in the bottom half to put the Yankees up 4-3. We found out that Paxton's having an MRI on his elbow, that there's concern he had some soreness or discomfort in the forearm slash elbow area, and that's a big blow for Paxton. Obviously, we've been concerned about the velocity, but has this been something that's been lingering for Paxton as the shortened season got started? You know, we mentioned the velocity. We mentioned how it might be his back, but maybe the elbow's been the issue, and we'll see more information as they go along, but another devastating blow for the Yankees. Hopefully, Paxton's all right. Then, before we even get into the offense, let's go into the pitching. Ottavino comes in. He did not have it. At one point, he looked like he was moping on the mound. It was pretty incredible to watch. And then I think the funniest thing and the thing that kind of sets the tail for the way the Yankees went today was Luis Avalon was warming up and tripped on his own cleat and fell and wiped out. So at that point, I think the Rays were like, you know what? We got this guy. We're perfectly okay. Avalon came in, struggled. They got two strong innings out of Holder, and then Cecil let up a couple of runs late in the ballgame. And at that point, the game was out of reach. A five spot in the sixth inning went with Ottavino, and Avalon was really the difference in this ballgame. Like I mentioned earlier, Voit had three hits. He scored two runs. Tauchman had two hits and a run scored in five at-bats. Urshela had the home run and two hits. The big news for the Yankees, Gleyber Torres left the game early after two at-bats. He hit a ground ball, hustled down the line, and came up limping. The Yankees just feel that it's tightness in his hamstring. They're going to evaluate him, probably send them for further tests. But again, how many injuries can this team take? And we go back to last year, and you look at how many guys are down and injured. You have Higashioka, we'll start with. You have Tommy Canley, Aaron Judge, who we all think shouldn't be on the injured list, but the Yankees kind of played a precautionary tale with him. And that's another story, another tale for another day. Stanton, you name it, these guys, it just seems like they just can't stay healthy. It's unbelievable. Now you add Britton to the mix. They had Chapman out due to COVID for a little while. LeMahieu, who arguably could be the MVP in the American League if he would stay healthy. He was that good early on. So it's just frustrating. It was a very disappointing weekend. And the Rays have owned the Yankees. The Yankees this year alone, let me give you their numbers as a team. They're 16-9 on the year. They're 15-3 against everybody that's not the Tampa Rays. But they're 1-5 or 1-6 now against the Rays. And the Rays have dominated them. And there's a big difference between the Rays and the Yankees. And, you know, I get it. The Yankees don't have their full lineup, and that's totally understandable. But this Rays team hustles. They do the little things. They hit with runners in scoring position. The Yankees have not hit with runners in scoring position against this team, and it's a concern. And when we sit back and talk about it, we covered it a little bit before. When you're playing against playoff teams, you can't look this bad. This is only giving Tampa confidence, because what's going to happen down the road if you match up with them in the playoffs? They know they have your number. You're giving them a said confidence that is definitely not a good thing, and now you put them in first place in the division. They're getting hot at the right time, and it's a frustrating and it's a disappointing thing. And at the stadium, you would have thought, man, the Yankees are coming in. They're playing really good in the Bronx. They're going to at least take two out of three, especially with arguably your three best starters on the mound. So you had Tanaka, who got roughed up, Cole, whose start they wasted, and Paxton, who was brilliant, then not brilliant, and then struggled, and they went to the bullpen, and the bullpen struggled, and it was just a complete mess. So overall, not a good sign. And the other thing is the injury woes. Like, how long is Glaber going to be out? How long is Paxton going to be out? Are they going to finally give Clark Schmidt an opportunity? I think that's what we all want to see. We want to see Schmidt get an opportunity. And at this point, you have to think that Hap's vesting option is going to actually vest because they're going to have to use him. Maybe give Mike King and Schmidt a start. Does it really hurt to give it a try at this point? Schmidt's got a lot of confidence. So does King. I think that one of them could get the job done, or if not both of them. So it remains to be said. But, you know, it's a tough time for the Yankees. And, you know, you can say what you want. You know, spoiled, rotten Yankee fans. And we're 16-9 complaining about this team. But what positives can you look at? This series kind of just put everything into perspective that it's frustrating to watch this team go. It really is. Boone's been managing pretty bad lately. The bullpen has been shaky. Starting pitching's been shaky other than Gerrit Cole. The offense can't seem to hit with runners in scoring position. And matter of fact, their best three hitters are arguably the guys that need to contribute the most are sitting on the injured list because they're hurt. So it's frustrating right now, but yeah, just hope that times get better. And now that we are trying to look ahead to the Mets series, and it doesn't look like that may happen at this point because the Mets had two positive COVID-19 tests come along, and the first game of the series, which was scheduled for Friday, has been postponed. So who knows what's going to happen over the weekend if the Yankees are even going to play this series. They might have to play three doubleheaders with the Mets later on in the year. They play them, in, I believe, next weekend already. But again, this is the risk you have when the season started. We all knew this was a possibility. We all knew this could happen. So it's just something that is frustrating. And I'm sure the Mets are disappointed in this because not only were people in their organization exposed, and from what everybody's saying, they were doing a really nice job of keeping everything tight-knit and making sure their players were safe. But also, it came at a time where the Mets were starting to play really good baseball. So disappointing. Hopefully, they could play at least two of the three games. But from the look of it, it doesn't look pretty for the Yankees or the Mets to get this series underway this weekend. Now, for the Yankees, it might be a nice, refreshing break that they need, especially given the guys that are out. Give Aaron Judge a couple more days to get back. DJ LeMahieu won't miss as many games as anticipated, as long as they don't schedule doubleheaders in between before he comes back, obviously. You can find out what's wrong with Paxton, reset the rotation a little bit, because remember, they have an off day scheduled right before the next two-game slate against the Braves, and then after they have another off day. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Hopefully whoever tested positive from the Mets is okay, and hopefully it doesn't spread, because if it spreads, the Mets are going to find themselves in a predicament like the Cardinals and the Marlins, where they're playing catch-up on their season, and that's never a fun thing for a team to have to do. But again, like I said, it's a risk, and that's the risk that we knew coming into the season would possibly happen. We also are coming closer to the trade deadline. Will be interesting to see what the Yankees do, if they do anything. You're sitting here at this point, and you're looking at teams that are still in it, and you wonder if anybody's really going to be a true seller. Maybe the Yankees could steal a starting pitcher from somebody that may classify themselves as non-contenders or don't think they can sign the player. Who knows what Brian Cashman has up his sleeve, but we'll have to just wait and see until the deadline, which is less than 2 weeks away now, which is crazy to think, considering the fact that the season's short and teams don't have enough time or as much time as normal to really assess where they stand in the rankings or standings, especially given that the playoff format is expanded. So again, I don't expect a lot of moves at the deadline. In general, I think that you're going to have teams trying to bolster maybe a backup infielder, a backup catcher, or additional starting pitching. And especially given that you can only trade guys that are on your 60-man summer camp, whatever you want to call it, roster within your alternate site or on your actual active roster. So that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I do expect a quiet deadline, as teams don't really have many options, especially given the amount of teams that are still in playoff contention. Before we wrap up today's show, I do want to talk about one Yankee that's been standing out, and that's Luke Voit. The guy has been absolutely incredible as of late. And to be quite honest with you, he doesn't get enough credit as to how good he's been during his tenure as a New York Yankee. Let's look at it from the point of view in terms of how he's been for the Yankees in the month of August. He is 17 for 52, 12 runs scored, 7 home runs, 13 RBIs. The guy has been incredible. He's projected to hit 23 home runs in this shortened season. He's already at 9 heading into Thursday's game. And you just look at him, and you look at what the Yankees gave up for him, and you just laugh because they turned Chase and Shreve and Giovanni Gallegos into Luke Voit. Voit, a guy who wasn't getting an opportunity in St. Louis, has really, really earned his keep in the Bronx. If you look at his numbers since coming to the Yankees back in 2018, he's played in 177 games, 44 home runs, 13 RBIs. He's posted a slash line of 281, 383, 537 over that span, 920 OPS. The guy's been incredible. And he doesn't get a lot of credit. There's been those people out there. We talked about it on our earlier show this week, how people want Francisco Lindor and moving guys around. But right now, how could you make the case to take this guy out of the lineup? He's been one of the most valuable Yankees. And these minimum moves that Cashman has made, and you look at him, you can name him, Gio Urshela, have really paid dividends for this team. And good GMs are able to make things happen like that. And Cashman, you got to give him credit for finding some diamonds in the rough. Voit's arguably one of the best first basemen in all of baseball. And you might say, oh, it's Yankee bias, but watch this guy hit on a daily basis. He's been nothing but great as a Yankee. And what first baseman in the league has those numbers over that span? I'm sure the list is very small. And I'm sure that a lot of guys don't even come close to matching that production. So for what they're paying Luke Voit, you have to be impressed with what they're getting from him. He's a guy that's been nothing but good since coming over to the organization. And while you have the big guys like LeMahieu and Judge and Stanton out, guys like Voit just seem to carry the torch and continue to roll with the punches and really continue to work hard and help this team win games. They do everything in their power to help this team. And Voit's been hitting the long ball. He's been doing everything. You know, you saw him hitting the leadoff spot. Worked a walk in his first at bat. Things like that don't go unnoticed. And he's a guy that has become very valuable to this Yankees team. So as you're looking at this team, and there's a lot of stars that you could point to, you have to give Luke Voit some credit, because what he's been doing over the three-year span is just simply, simply incredible. Man, with the way the Yankees played this week, you needed some kind of positivity. And that's why Luke Voit is definitely a bright spot for this team. You got to look at some kind of positive in a show where not much positive was talked about. But overall, I think the Yankees will get over this. I think that they'll get back on track. Again, I hate to sound like this, but you only have 3 more games against the Rays. And that's probably the best team that they'll face until the postseason. So again, got to try to get healthy. Got to figure out a way to get these guys safe and figure out a way to keep them healthy and on the field, because it's kind of frustrating seeing how many injuries we've dealt with, especially over the past two seasons. And again, we're going to give you updates regardless of what happens with the Mets series. If we do have a series, we'll break it down for you. If we don't, we'll look ahead to the upcoming series against the Braves. Regardless, we'll continue to update you on our social media feeds. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, at Nick_Delahanty is my personal account. Also, we're on Facebook, searches up by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Delahanty Media is also live on Facebook. Just type in Delahanty Media, and DelahantyMedia.com has all the latest info and updates for all of your favorite Delahanty Media brand products. Go buy some gear from our store. Again, you can find that on our website. All proceeds go to help support our brand. So any thing you buy from there is definitely appreciated. And rep the gear. It's pretty nice gear. A lot of people are starting to buy some, and it's going to be nice to see the brand get spread out a little bit. Until next time, we don't know when next time is going to be, especially given the current situation with the COVID-19 virus impacting the Mets. But we will update you, and we'll definitely be back to talk some more Yankees baseball. Until next time, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Keep the pinstripes on, and let's just try to stay positive here, people. It's going to get better. Until next time, take care. We'll hope to talk to you soon, and as always, let's go Yankees.